Let me just follow on what I was saying. I want to just take a slightly different tack for a moment. I wonder, have you ever heard people say, well, sure, all the religions of the world are basically the same. I wonder, have you ever heard that? Sometimes people do say that. But let me remind you of this. Think of some of the leaders, we'll call them, of the religions of the world. Moses was and is one of the people who's greatly revered by Judaism. Confucius, we don't hear much about him, but he is greatly revered by millions and millions of people in the Far East. Buddha is greatly revered by many, and so is Muhammad. Moses died at the ripe old age of well over 100, 120 actually. Confucius died at the age of 72, Buddha was 70, and Muhammad died at the age of 62 or 63 in the arms of his favorite wife. But Jesus Christ died at the age of 33, having just gone through a 3-year ministry, which was rejected, and he ended up on the cross on a hill outside the city of Jerusalem. And I want you to just hear, let me read this to you. I don't have it on the screen. He was expelled from society, betrayed and denied by his disciples and supporters, mocked and ridiculed by his opponents, forsaken by humanity and even God. He went through a ritual of death that is one of the most atrocious ever invented by human cruelty. And yet, Jesus Christ's life and death was utterly unique. How radical the love of Jesus. And according to the Apostle John, he tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, what I'm saying to you is this, that in contrast to all of these other religions, God the Father sent his Son into this world that he would die at the age of 33. That whosoever would believe in his life and death would not perish, but have everlasting life. According to another apostle, Peter, it was to bring us to God. Christ died for sins once for all, says Peter, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. To bring you to God. So in contrast to all of these other ideas, let us never, ever attempt to agree with someone who says, well, sure, they're really all the same. They are completely different. And I'm not even being disrespectful to other people. I'm simply saying they are completely different. You cannot compare the message of Christianity to the message of all of these other things. They are completely different. Christianity is utterly unique. He died. And then on the third day, he rose again. Again, I don't know all of you here this morning, there's visitors here, and I don't know what all of you think of this message. I don't know whether you profess to be a believer. I don't know whether you think, well, Christianity is an interesting thing, but it's not really for me. And maybe someone listening to this message on the web, maybe you're actually slightly cynical about the whole thing. What are we to make of some of these things? You see, the burden of proof is not just on believers. Sometimes people say that, oh, you Christians believe all of this. Prove it. But the burden of proof is not just to be left to Christian believers. Those who are cynical about these things, let them try to convince us that it's untrue. Have they really examined the evidence? Let me just remind you of some of these things. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but folks, these are things that we need to think about. Maybe you have a friend who's a little bit skeptical. Ask them this question. Why did Christianity emerge so quickly and with such power? Why, after Jesus was dead and buried, did the people after the third day go out and begin to say, he's alive? If they knew it was all a bunch of lies, why did they do that? Would you die for a lie? I suspect not many of us would die for a lie. Remember, no group of Jews ever worshipped a human being as God. It was anathema to the Jewish people to worship a human being as God. So what led that first century group of Jewish people to fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and worship him? I was on my knees a moment ago. It was Mary who suddenly realized that it wasn't the gardener, it was the master, and she fell at his feet, and we're told she clasped him. What makes a Jewish woman do that? To worship a mere man. The only thing is that she recognized that he was no mere man, that he was the Son of God. Jewish people did not believe in individual resurrections. What changed their worldview? What brought them to believe that someone could be raised again? And how did early Christians, and why did early Christians give their lives for the belief that Jesus rose from the dead if they knew that it actually never happened? You see, there is compelling evidence for us this morning. But let me say this as I try and pull this together. It means that the promises of Jesus are true. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Jesus proved that those were not just words when he rose again. And can I say to you this morning, if you're a believer, so what? The resurrection gives us an assurance of our salvation. It gives us an assurance that the one in whom we believed is trustworthy. It gives us an assurance that life is not the end, that this life is not the end, that there is another life to come. It gives us a motivation to go into the world and to not be afraid to say to people, are you a Christian? Why are you not a Christian? Have you ever read the gospel for yourself? Have you ever examined the evidence? Some of you will remember last summer, a former archbishop of Uganda stood here. I think I've got that right. Yes, I have. Do you remember? And do you remember what he said to us? He was asked the question, what would you say to people in the West, where there's a whole lot of people who are very cynical about these things? Do you remember one of the things he said? He said to us, I would say to you in the words of the little chorus, be bold and be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Folks, sometimes we're not bold enough. Now, boys and girls, when I use the word bold, I am not saying about being cheeky. I'm using it in the word in the way not to be afraid to speak out and say that we are Christians. Sometimes we don't say to other people and challenge other people about the gospel enough. And I do not, by the way, subscribe to the idea of cornering people and buttonholing people and putting them under pressure and all of that kind of thing. But I do believe that there are times that God would have us to speak and we are silent. So let us be a little bit more bold. Let us be a little bit more bold in sharing the gospel with other people. Let me ask you this morning. If you really believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he rose again on the third day, would you not want to tell it to somebody? I sometimes wonder about the church in our country sometimes, and I say to myself, do we really believe these things? Because if we do, then we will actually speak up a little bit more and seek to pass on the message to others. See, the minister always has to check the time. I want to finish with a lovely story. Those of you who have been here the last couple of Easter evenings, and that's not everybody, may have heard me tell you this story. And I deliberately tell you it again on this resurrection morning. Some of you may know the name of William Sangster. William Sangster was a Methodist preacher in England back in the middle of the 20th century. Some people described him as a modern-day John Wesley. He was a great man. He was a clear evangelical preacher of the gospel and was used really greatly of God. But whenever he was, I think it was maybe his late 50s or thereabouts, I may have got that slightly wrong, he noticed one day an illness came upon him, and he had a problem with his throat, and I'll not go into all the details, but he was diagnosed with a very serious and terminal illness. And eventually he reached the stage where he could not walk, he could not speak. And just a few weeks before he died, on resurrection morning, he took out a pen with a very shaking hand, and he wrote the following to his daughter. He said, it is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and not be able to shout, he is risen. And then he wrote this. But it would be even more terrible to wake up on Easter morning and not want to. And I found that profoundly moving, that there are millions in our nation this morning for whom the highlight of Easter Day will be the trip to the B&Q or to some other big shop. The highlight for millions of our compatriots on this Easter Sunday will be opening the Easter egg. And whilst I do not in any way ridicule those people, not in the least, I am concerned as a pastor and a minister of the gospel that we live in a nation that has no desire whatsoever to wake on up today and shout, he is risen. It's irrelevant. How will they hear? It's over to you, folks. It's over to you. How will they be influenced if we are silent? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And as Jesus said when he first spoke those words, I say to you this morning, Do you believe this? Do you believe this?